And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
You're going to do a song for us, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Whistling on My Mind.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, May 27th. Appreciate all of y'all for taking the time to join us today. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. Got my Top Shot Hot Boy, fellow freak, Trey Kirby.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
And last but not least, making the magic happen is J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to our buddy Jared for coming through with that cold open. Crazy whistle man. What a club.
I haven't seen that for years and years at this point, but to see him flapping that mullet, I don't even understand how the whistle is coming out of his mouth, really. Just blowing by the teeth, I suppose. Legendary stuff.
Yeah,
people are going crazy in the stream team. Yeah, people are saying this is a top 10 all time. Basically for that kid's face at the end, just dumbfounded by this whistling man.
I like the reaction of the older guy in the crowd, too, at the end. It's what am I watching? What is going on? Why am I at this show?
Old Pete Buttigieg in the crowd.
Shout out to the stream team as well for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. Leave your comments, of course, below the video. And subscribe. We are getting oh so close to 40,000 subs. Man, it takes a while to get there. I remember when we thought we were going to get there in a weekend once upon a time. That was like a month ago. But anyway, keep subscribing, share the show with your friends, and we'll get to 40K soon enough. And then we'll get to 50K, and hell, maybe Lee will whistle that Slim Dusty song, whatever the heck you were going to do. What do you think? Can you whistle it?
No, not really. Like that. You know, I mean, I can whistle, but not with any tune or anything like that. I just,
It's not bad. Yeah, that's pretty good. Don't be so hard on yourself. Come on, man. That's pretty nice.
I used to be able to whistle Patience by Guns N' Roses, but I haven't done it for a while. Maybe I'll bring that one back.
Okay, that's what should be the reward.
That'll be 40,000.
Okay. 40K, you'll whistle Guns N' Roses song here on the show. Awesome. Send in your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in to nodunks@theathletic.com. We hit the beach yesterday on Wednesday afternoon to answer your NBA and non-NBA questions. Had some fun. We discussed key role players to all 16 playoff teams and which squads were actually cheering on. We'd like to see go far in the playoffs. Maybe which teams we wouldn't care to see move on. We discussed how many belts a man should own. Decided on our wrestling gimmicks and moves and the faction we've come up with. We are now forever known as the Marina. We got Jumbo Trey. We got Motorboat Lee. I'm Speedboat. We got to figure out who Tass and JD are. I mean, somebody's got to be maybe Tugboat. I don't know who wants to be that.
Tugboat. Who wants to be the big
Tassie
tug?
Tugboat is pretty good.
Tugboat Tass.
JD, maybe you're like a luxury yacht or something. I don't know. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Or a sub. I'm a sub. I like being underwater.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're perfect. A submarine. That's perfect. All right. We're the Marina, man.
I also enjoy a sandwich, so.
All right. And what else happened? Lee shared a story in photos about the time he went to a wedding in Florence. That's the type of thing that happens on beach stepping. So go watch that video or listen to the podcast if you haven't already. Finally, grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Okay, let's get to the games. Yeah, we'll get to the whole popcorn thing a little bit later in the show, but let's actually start with the basketball here first. Derrick Rose, Julius Randle rally the Knicks past the Hawks to tie the series at one game apiece. Lely, get us started. What was the big takeaway from this one?
Well, another banger, I thought. Another good, tough playoff game. And all going pretty much to plan for the Hawks at halftime, apart from foul trouble to John Collins. Comfortable lead. Trae Young was carving the Knicks up. And the crowd, funnily enough, considering we've gone so long without crowds, the crowd was silent pretty much heading into that second half, or into the half there, because of the job that Trae Young and the Hawks had done. Julius Randle was struggling, and outside of Derrick Rose, the Knicks really didn't have any offense going. And that carried over to pretty much halfway through the third, but then it all changed because the Knicks went cold. Julius Randle woke up, and the Knicks got hot. And that then sort of carried over to the fourth, certainly the start of the fourth quarter there, because everyone started scoring for the Knicks. Trae Young sat out, as he often does, the start of that fourth quarter. The Knicks had the lead up to 10. Trae came back in and basically tied the game within 3 minutes. Again, just in a masterful performance from him, running a couple of pick and rolls there with Clint Capella, scoring himself. And it was tied at 91 with 5 minutes to go. And the Knicks and the Hawks could score only one more point for the rest of the game. And whereas the Knicks, everyone got going, and that crowd got rocking again. Obi Toppin, he only hit one basket in the end, but it was a big one, and the crowd was going wild. And look, I think big picture, the Hawks come away from this going, you know what, we'll take a split. We've stolen home court advantage, and if we hold serve at home, we can close this series out in six. But it sure felt like this was one that they probably should have won. And in that second half, particularly their two really nice shooters, Gallinari and Bogdanović, just couldn't hit a three. A lot of them, I felt, especially Gallinari's, were open enough that he should have hit more than one. They combined to go 1 for 12. Pretty good looks, I thought. If they hit a couple of those, it's not this close, I think, and the Hawks do probably come away with a 2-0 victory. But it doesn't matter, because big picture is that Julius Randle did get it going in that second half. And the Knicks had a good comeback and a good win. And now they come down to Atlanta feeling, I guess, you know, confident that they at least got, they're not down 0-2. But if you're the Hawks, I think if you can generate the same looks in game three and four down in here in Atlanta, they're going to feel pretty good that they can get, you know, take a sort of 3-1 lead in this series. Because I thought they outplayed the Knicks, but they just couldn't hit the shots. And something Greg Popovich talks about all the time. Sometimes they go in and sometimes they don't. And the Knicks sort of capitalized on that. So really, Derrick Rose again was the one that kept them in it. And then in that fourth quarter, as I mentioned, everyone scored for the Knicks who played in the fourth quarter, even though it was only one basket. And they got a good victory. So great series. I think we're set up for something special here. I think the Hawks, though, probably do have the advantage at this point.
Trey, I was watching this game and I was thinking about your answer on the beach when you were talking about, as a Bulls fan, you're like, you know what? I don't want to see the Knicks go that far. You know, you've obviously got some history there back to the 90s between these two squads. But I'm watching this game and Derrick Rose going crazy, keeping the Knicks in it. Taj Gibson playing huge minutes. And I'm like, hold on. These are the Bulls with Tibbs coaching. What did you think from these performances from both those guys, but especially Derrick Rose, who Lee said, I mean, he kept them in the game. It felt like at times it was like sort of 5-on-1, just offensively wise, like the Hawks, like you said, generating good looks, Trae Young doing his thing. And then it was just like just Derrick Rose for good stretches of this game until Julius Randle got going.
You want to talk about feeling like the Bulls? It was like 2011 all over again. The defense was there for the Knicks, and it was just Derrick Rose had to take over and be the only guy basically who was scoring. He finished 9 for 21 on the night. Felt like he shot a lot better with the way he was playing. 26 points on 21 shots. That's not incredible, but you throw in another 4 assists and the fact that the Knicks in general were just not able to score basically for the first half. I don't know. Between that and starting Elfrid Payton for the first half and sitting him for the start of the second half, which Tibbs did, that was a very Keith Bogans move. So I assume we'll keep seeing the honorary start, as Kenny Smith was calling it, during halftime. But yeah, I mean, Rose was massive for the Knicks, especially there in the second half. And Julius Randle coming alive, hitting a three-pointer to kick things off there in the third quarter. I thought that was massive too. You never have to worry about Tom Thibodeau playing his guys long enough. I would be a little concernicus, though, if I were a Hawks fan, thinking, why did Trae Young sit for 6 minutes during the third quarter and fourth quarter when obviously he's out there? He's been the best player in the series so far, had about 8 points in six possessions or something like that, tied the game up, just like you're saying, Skeets. But I don't know. We're heading to games 3 and 4 here in Atlanta. Got to get those minutes up towards 40, I would have to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, the story after game one was Trey going to McMillan saying, leave Lou in there. He's cooking right now, so let him stay out a little bit longer. But what do you think about what Trey's saying there, Tass? Should he have leaned on Trey Young a little bit more in this last night's game? And what do you think of the series moving forward, tied at one? It's sure shaping up to be a 7-game series, I think, as we all basically expected.
Yeah, game one turns when Lou Williams just gets going late in the third quarter and early in the fourth quarter. Hawks were down. This could have been a Knicks, 1-0 series lead, and Lou Williams comes out and then after the fact in game two, everybody pointing out, hey, where the hell is Trey? I think the balance is Bogdan Bogdanovic should be out there with Lou Williams because Bogdan can create his own shot. Instead of a guy like Tony Snell out there, just throw out Bogdan Bogdanovic. I think that's the balance. You stagger your stars is the key here. I think Bogdan sitting for those minutes was kind of the mistake, and that's why the Knicks got that lead. And the Knicks got that lead, and Julius Randle came alive because he was playing alongside Derrick Rose to start that third quarter, I think. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things with a guy in his first playoff appearance, it's harder to start at home. It's nice and easy, I think, for Trae Young to start on the road. And I think Julius Randle has come alive. It took him three halves to come alive, but hopefully going on the road for him, he'll feel good because it took him only 16 shots to get 15 points on the night instead of 23 to get his total of 15 in game one. So, he couldn't find it in his first three halves, but, Derrick Rose being beside him, taking some of the pressure off will help. I don't think Derrick Rose starts in game one. I know it's wild to think Elfrid Payton is going to start instead of him, play 5 minutes, and then sit the rest of the game. Derrick Rose start the second half, but I think, Tibbs kind of knows that Derrick Rose can't play 35 minutes and he wants him to finish the game, so he doesn't want to burn him out at the beginning of the game. It is a special situation with Derrick Rose. He's in his 30s. He isn't Derrick Rose of 2011, and that's probably what's going to happen. It's weird, but maybe Julius Randle can carry the offense at the beginning of the game because he's starting to feel a lot better. But, yeah, as far as the Hawks go, yeah, it'd be nice to get Trey to 40. Be nice to not miss open shots. They missed five wide open threes those last 3 minutes. And so Trey got it going. He got on the floor. He got it going himself. And he decided, instead of what he did in game one, to end the game killing the Knicks with his own shooting, he decided to pass it up. And it didn't work. Bogdanovic was 2 of 13 in this game from three. That was the biggest difference for me, Bogey just not being able to find the hole. But I think a lot of those shots go in. On any other night, it's a tough crowd to play in front of. They got one at home. Now they just got to, do their deed at home themselves, the Hawks do.
Yeah, Reggie Bullock coming alive there, too, in the second half. I thought he was huge. He hit the one that had the place rocking there. I think that was the one maybe that tied it up. Derrick Rose, too. Tass, were you going nuts? Is he hitting the deepest dinker and dumpers we've ever seen? Did you see that one? I mean, sexy. I know it's a Rose-like. It's that little, shot putch. It's not
a
floater.
Been his shot since the MVP year.
He's
the
so far out. Yeah, it's amazing. But it's sort of a dinker and dumper when you think about it. Yeah. The way he's chucking it up there. That was the one that put them up. Place is going insane. I mean, you saw them celebrating after, Lee. Like MSG and the Knicks faithful just won a championship. They just won one game of a playoff series. It's been a long time, and they are celebrating out in the streets it's a ticker parade there.
Yeah, when you're the home team, though, the best feeling is when you're down big, because that could have been a 20-point lead at halftime if a couple of shots close out at in the end of that second quarter there. If you're down and your team comes back, that's the best feeling, because you're oh, man, we're going home with a loss. And then your team rallies and comes back for a victory. And again, Taj Gibson had a huge two-handed dunk. Talk about 2010. I think I nominated him for the dunk contest at one time.
Yes, you did. Yeah, that was the weirdest thing.
Because I think it was after he threw down on Dwayne Wade that time in transition. That was his his big dunk. But, that was a thing. Everyone seemed to get going. Once that crowd got back into it, then it made it tough for the Hawks. But, again, they got the looks. I think Nate McMillan's listen, that's the sort of offense we want to get where – Trae Young early on, I mean, he was hitting some deep bombs. That second quarter of him was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. When he went on that 12-1 run the Hawks did, he hit the logo three, which was crazy deep. Then he had that sick reverse layup through traffic, knocked down another jumper, hit another three. And, yeah, that made it That made it like a 15-point lead, and it was looking great for Atlanta with Julius struggling, only Derrick Rose really contributing for the Knicks. And you're right, it was like, ooh, they might steal both of these games on the road here. And then, of course, what happened, as we just talked about, in the second half, Hawks went cold. Knicks turned up their defense, too, and then... Yeah, they just actually had guys knocking threes, including Randall and Bullock, like I said.
I would also put Bullock on Trae Young a little bit more, I think, if I'm Tibbs. I think because he's a bit taller, a bit longer, a little bit like we saw Aaron Gordon on Lillard. Now, Trae Young's got range. He can shoot it from anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I just think when he does sort of penetrate a little bit, I think Reggie Bullock can stick with him a little better than some of their other defenders they've been throwing at him. So we'll see if Tibbs makes that move in game three, because Trae Young so far, I mean, he hasn't really had any real defensive pressure where he struggled, because when he's hitting that three, if you come out on him, then he can go inside, and he's got the options, whether you go to Capella or you fire it out to those guys on the wings. They've just got to hit the shots, and that's the way the Hawks like to play.
Derrick Rose did play 39 minutes in this game, which is wild. But do you agree with Tass, Trey? Like, Tibbs will stick with Elfrid Payton, and he will start game three. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly right. He'll play 5 minutes, just like he did in game two. Yeah, it's fine. You want Derrick Rose there at the end of the game, and if he's playing 40 minutes, he played more minutes than Trae Young, a guy who should have been an all-star this year, and who is obviously much younger. But one name I don't think we have said once in our two recaps of this series, John Collins. Anybody seen him?
Mm.
12 points on 5 of 11 shooting, 9 rebounds through 2 games. He's basically been invisible. He's definitely been helping on Julius Randle, but he's not drawn that matchup primarily. John Collins has to be better, I think, coming here back to Atlanta. This is a guy who could be the third star for the Hawks. Some nights he is, but he has done nothing so far in this playoff series.
Yeah, I wonder if he's costing himself some bucks here going into his free agency. Or, you know, like the Knicks are making Elfrid Payton the honorary starter, as you put it, Trey. Maybe the Hawks give Collins the honorary contract. Like, they offered him 4 years, $90 million. He turned it down. Just give it to him again and make him sign it again. Like, he has not been himself, for sure. They try and get him going at the beginning of every first quarter with a corner three. But it's just, they're looking for three-point shots, and John Collins, you know, isn't an ideal three-point shooter. They've got better three-point shooters on the floor. So, yeah, he's kind of, you know, in purgatory there with what he does. But I do think he would sign with this team, and I think he will sign with this team, and he should be a big part of them going forward. I couldn't help but think, you know, you talk about Reggie Bullock guarding Trae Young. I couldn't help but think of free agency. Lonzo Ball would love to be on this team as the starting point guard for the Knicks, as a guy guarding other point guards and getting out there and getting a monstrous contract this offseason from the Knicks. That just seems like too perfect a fit. So can't wait for July, August. August is when free agency happens.
Yeah, July, we still got the finals.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So game three, this series, played in a couple days here. First playoff game at the State Farm Arena since its renovation there in 2018. And something that we're all fascinated to find out is how many Knicks fans are going to be in the building for what I believe is full capacity that they've said now here in Georgia. So that's the question mark. How many, you know, the Hawks fans, they're there. They're loyal. But will they be outnumbered, Lili, down at the Fortress there with a bunch of, you know, Derrick Rose and Randall and even Melo and Jeremy Lin jerseys, whatever?
Yeah, it's funny because Derrick Rose has got a loyal following as well. And now that he's obviously on the Knicks, it's going to be pretty close. I mean, the Hawks should have more fans, but it won't be like 80-20.
I think it's going to be really close. And we've been to games here in Atlanta where, be it the Lakers, maybe the Celtics, where if it's a close game, it actually makes for a really fun atmosphere because they're cheering every time because of, the sort of 50-50 split. It's not ideal for Hawks, supporters having half their arena with the opposition there, fans, but it does make for a cool experience when you're there. So we will see. And can everybody remind me, like, I had this one in seven. I had Knicks in seven. Did everybody go seven, or did we have a six in the mix too?
I had a sixer in the mixer for the Hawks, so feeling decent about
still
that.
Still feeling decent about that? Man, yeah,
I think they've played better both games. You're going to lose on the road. It's going to happen. Yeah, I don't necessarily trust them to win both home games, but The way Trae Young has come out and played in his first playoff performance, he's been running the show when he's out there. He feels super duper confident, and it helps that his floater goes down in the first game to end the game. But he carried it over into game two, and he said, "See you in the A," dropping it. Everybody yelling at him, dropping the upside down A. See you down there. So I think he feels good, and Bogdan can't shoot like that. He just hits a couple threes. This game goes the other way, but Randall's feeling good too. So hopefully the Stars are, you know, playing to their capabilities, because it kind of sucks watching Julius Randle just not be Julius Randle of the entire season.
Will the Hawks fans come up with a weird lame-ass chant to try and get in the head of one of the Knicks players? Like, yes. MSG with the Trey is balding. Yes. The paper printout. Here's what
I know.
This
is honestly, Skeets, MSG as the best arena to watch a game. Ooh. Took a few L's last night, if we're being quite honest, because passing out a cheer sheet, that's something you get at a college or maybe in the sixth man at a Hawks game. I thought Knicks fans were supposed to be smart. You know, they know the game. They know when to cheer. They know when to boo. You got to pass out something about that? Mm. Super lame. That was a major L to me. Bigger L, though, was spitting on Trae Young. Just the wackest stuff imaginable from Knicks fans.
Yeah, a weird night for fans in general. Again, we'll get to the popcorn. Yeah, have you seen the clip? It's like someone in like the second or third row, I guess, right there, right by the court. And you see spit come. I don't think it hits Trae. It almost lands on like the woman in the front. Does he react to it?
I couldn't
tell.
But yeah, I'm not sure if it's that weird, or if he is just sort of like, I don't know. It's obviously, if that is true and that guy did it, ban him for life, forever.
Of course.
I mean, honestly, bring charges against him, because that is just grotesque and stupid. And that's just way too far.
I will say this about the paper handout. I happened to be at a soccer football game in England once upon a time at a Crystal Palace game, and they handed out basically like an encyclopedia chance. There was like 15 on there. It was too many. I think what the Knicks did right was they just kept it super short and simple. Like when I was at the football game, I couldn't understand which one they were going to. They just went to the top two or three of the 15 anyways. Why did you need 15 on there? At least the Knicks, the goal was achieved, right? They were chanting it.
They did chant it.
Whether it's dumb or not, I mean, they were into it. You know, it just could have been a better chant.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it also just sounded like Trae is bawling, which he was. So just a weird choice, I think, to go with that. I mean, you might as well just stick with the FU, Trae, or something like that at this point.
Yeah, I think his hair looks good, by the way. I think he's filled it out more than in times past. Like,
he's letting it flow for sure.
That's longer for sure.
He shouldn't come home. You know, bald men say, "Come on home, man. Just shave it off. Come on home." No. Let it fly. It looks good. I think it looks good.
If the Knicks somehow get to the conference finals and take on the Nets, will they have to print out Durant is balding, piece of paper and hand it out to everyone? Or KD is balding? I don't know which one.
I don't know. Personally, I would think you could make it up on the fly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't believe it. Somebody went through the effort of printing out a piece of paper, thousands and thousands of pieces of paper, with three words on it. Just start the chant. Literally just start the chant. People will hear it and start chanting. That's how chants work.
But again, I think it's such a poor choice to yell that if they had done that, people in the other section, are they saying Trae is bawling? Are they saying bawling? I mean, it's just, it was a horrible idea from the get-go, is my point.
Yes,
just the choice of words. It sounds too similar to Trae is bawling.
I'm like Al Davis here. Just boo, baby.
Yeah,
that's all you need. Booing sounds awesome and it's fun to do, and there's no debate about what it means. We don't like you. Just boo.
Yeah, and if you want to go next level, which I still think is fair game, do the old Daryl Strawberry type chant. Do the mocking like Daryl. Now a little more difficult. Trae. I guess it still works. I'm a fan of that too. That just like you get 20,000 people doing that, picking a name and just picking on that star player to try and shake them a little bit. I like that. Go with
the
that
Raptors,
one too.
The Raptors did that to Dwight Howard back in 2008.
Right.
It was just Howard. And you could see he was definitely like put off by that. I mean, he's never been a great free throw shooter, but the whole arena got into
that.
It. Yep. That was awesome. That was really good. So, yeah, that's what you need to do. Because so far, Trey has killed the Knicks. So, you know, FU and balding and all that, it's like, it's fuel for Trey.
Well, maybe they should start some, like, reverse psychology, like Trey playing Pogs with his slammers and all that. Start cheering him. You know, yeah. Start applauding everything
Good
he does.
Shot,
that'll
Trey.
Shake him maybe a little bit, because he'll be like, what? What's going on? Anyway, excited for Game 3. This is you know, one of the more enjoyable series, just with what's going on in it and the back and forth affair. This is a game of runs, this one. Knicks down a ton, then suddenly the Hawks went on a big run after the Knicks got up. It was a lot of fun, so can't wait for Game 3 here in Atlanta. Lee, you got your tickets yet? You going down?
No. Sunday, 1 o'clock is where I'm aiming to go for Game 4. Yeah, Woo! Can't go tomorrow night, but yeah, hoping to go for Game 4.
Okay. Exciting stuff.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, let's get to the next game. Donovan Mitchell, he's back. Net 25 in 26 minutes as the Jazz overcome Ja Morant and the Grizzlies for the 141-129 victory. Trey, what's your takeaways from this one?
Yeah, one of the last things I said on yesterday's show, there's a little bit of pressure on Donovan Mitchell after the way things went down in Game 1, how he said he was ready to play and the team made the call right before game time saying he's not going to play. He'd missed 18 straight games. That's a lot of rust for an all-star player playing on the number one team in the Western Conference. But the guy just straight up thrived out there. 25 points in 26 minutes, like you're saying, Skeets. He had 5 threes, and Donovan Mitchell really came out and put his stamp on this game right away. He hit 3 threes in the first quarter. He was talking trash to Dylan Brooks. That was very cool. You know, this game stayed competitive in the second half. The Grizzlies make a nice little run, basically led by Ja Morant there in the third quarter. But I thought it was over in the first half. Mitchell wasn't efficient, but he really gives the Jazz a boost emotionally. Just having their leader back was huge. The athleticism that he brings from the perimeter is something that they don't have when he's on the bench. And he was just in the lane all the time last night. Made it a lot easier for Utah to generate three-pointers. They won the three-point shooting battle last night, 19 threes to 8. The math just does not work out for Memphis when that's the case, when the Jazz are shooting threes like they have all season. And Rudy Gobert was honestly dominant last night. Yeah. 21 points, 13 rebounds, 9 of 11 from the floor, 4 blocks. He's keeping Valanciunas in foul trouble. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. has to kind of step over, and he's just not physical enough to hang with Rudy. So, yeah, a nice game for Ja. A Grizz record, 47 points in the playoffs, but to me, the Jazz looked a lot like themselves last night, getting Donovan Mitchell back, getting the three-pointers up. They could have played defense. They didn't really need to last night. They scored 141 points. So, I don't know. If you're the Jazz, you're looking at that 129 that Memphis scored and saying, we can be better in Game 3. But on a night when you're shooting the ball like they were, didn't really matter.
Yeah, Mitchell did a great job, too, of getting Dylan Brooks there in early foul trouble. Like Trey said, talking a little trash to him. Dylan Brooks does it to himself sometimes, yeah. too. But there was a lot of Grizzlies in foul trouble early on in this. And this was sort of, I think, like the perfect return, right? Task for a guy who was making headlines for different reasons. Not what he was doing on the floor, obviously. Wanting to play game one. Training staff saying, no, you're not going to go. They ended up losing it. He's like, what the hell's going on here? Like this, you could picture where this could have gone bad. Bad Mitchell game, you know, obviously another loss, whatever, especially with John Morant going off. And it was the opposite. They hit a bunch of threes. Mitchell was great right from the jump. Didn't have to play a ton of minutes. And we're all tied up at one. Like this was like ideal for Jazz fans here with Donovan Mitchell's return and the spark he gave them.
Yeah, I think it would have been even more ideal if he didn't have to go to the back, if he played more than 26 minutes. But yes, it's a really great run to start this game, to get Dylan Brooks in foul trouble. But I'll say the fight that the Grizzlies showed, you know, being down, was it 18 or 20 at half, yeah. and the way they're able to fight back in the third quarter, it makes it seem to me like this isn't your typical 1-8 matchup.
Right.
Because a team loses at home, the best team in the freaking NBA, comes out in game two and rolls to definitely, you know, a double-digit lead throughout the game, especially if they're up at half. But the Grizzlies came out in that second half. You'd expect them to just, you know, just drop off and say, all right, we got our split.
Yeah.
But John Morant said, no frickin' way, and they had that 43-point third quarter. Dylan Brooks was pretty impressive to be able to almost match Donovan Mitchell's output with 23 points in just 28 minutes after having those two quick fouls to start the game and had to go to the bench. So this just shows to me that this Grizzlies team, they don't know what pressure is because they are a young team and they are absolutely tearing it up. Like, yeah, the Jazz won a game at home. That's totally fine, but I can't wait to see what happens in Memphis. It sure feels like we're going to go back at the very least 2-2 back to Utah with the way this team really believes in itself. And yeah, they made some mistakes. That's great for Dylan Brooks to screw up here at game two and to hopefully go home and not screw up that way. And John Morant to show his teammates that I can frickin' pot 47 on this team to be able to fight back late in the third quarter and be within 3 points and force the Jazz to win this game rather than, you know, the Grizzlies just to lose it. So it's a friggin' great 1-8 matchup. Unlike what we're seeing in the 1-8 and the 2-7 in the East, these teams are at least following through. You know, that play-in tournament in the Western Conference, worth it. We got the best team here, and they are they're showing out.
Yeah, they kept me up late, I'll tell you that, because when it was a 20-point halftime lead, I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it like 6 or 7 minutes, and if the Jazz make this 25-point lead, 30-point lead, whatever, then I'll probably just pack it in and see what happens in the morning if, you know, anything crazy happened, of course, or what happens in the fourth. And instead, like you said, like Tess said, I mean, holy crap, the show John Morant put on in the third quarter alone to make this a game. It got as close as like 2 points, I think.
Well, I think if DeAndre Melton, I think it was, hits that three in the corner, it's a tied game.
Right.
Jazz kind of sort of celebrated because he made the pass, but he missed it. But then the Jazz just kind of pulled away from there. But yeah, John Morant.
But it kept me up is my point because I was like, wow, no, this is a game. Like this is like, you know, you're right. In the end, Jazz pulled away and did what they had to do. But it definitely was like, oh, here we go. Like, I think it was a perfectly way to put it, Tass. It was like, we have to win this game. They're not just going to, like, lose it and hand it over to us. That was fun. And 47 points. Holy shit. That's a ton of points.
Yeah.
For, you know, a franchise record, of course. Who had it?
Conley.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Conley. Wow.
Conley had a great game in this one, too, with a 15 assists. So what do you take away from this one, Lili? I mean, all expected the Jazz to win, I think, especially when Mitchell came back. But
Ja had, you know, the 47. He had 20 free throw attempts, which is great because he goes in there and throws his body. And if he threw that dunk down on Rudy Gobert, have been the dunk of ever. I mean, he was not close. Like, Rudy basically just stood there. but the fact that he just had the ambition to say, I am going to try to dunk on you is great. But I thought Rudy Gobert was very good at both ends because Jaren Jackson is a big man and is a small man in a big man's body. He's just not a big. He's not a banger at all. So when Valanciunas is not out there, Gobert can just roll to the rim. And he dunked again late in that fourth quarter. I think he had 8 points in the fourth quarter. And he really showed that that's where the Jazz have an advantage because if Valanciunas is not on the floor, they're just not. There's no one who can really fill in that position of a big man. So going forward, I think that's something the Jazz need to take more advantage of. And, you know, Jackson went in and Rudy just like swatted wanted him out of there as well. So that's a bit of a hole there for the Grizzlies. But the fact that they really pulled themselves back in here for mainly through Ja Morant in that third quarter, I thought was great. And it just shows that this is going to be a closer series. I certainly don't see a douchebag sweep coming. I think the Grizzlies have got at least one more win in them, maybe even two if they if things go right for them. And they're fun to watch. You know, they move that ball around. And Dylan Brooks, love him or hate him, and most people hate him, unless you're a Grizzlies fan. He's tough. He's fighting. And, you know, I thought he was good enough. So this is a good series and a good test here for the Jazz as well to see how they go now out to Memphis. And do they sort of stamp their authority on this series in the next game or two? Or do the Grizzlies make them work for it? Because ultimately, I think the Jazz do get past them. I think everyone picked the Jazz. But it's not certainly not going to be a walkover for them.
Yeah, and I actually always like this. We've talked about this before in years prior. I like when, like, a one or a second seed is, like, challenged a little bit. Like, it's a bit of a wake-up call from a tough team that's a lower seed that no one's picking, but it's not, like, a walkover. I think that actually always bodes better for you as the playoffs go on, because you've, like, been in these, like, sort of, you know, wars a little bit earlier, got a little that playoff experience or, like, that wake-up call. I think it tends to work out more times than not. So maybe maybe the Grizzlies are helping the Jazz out here for their quest to, like, try and get back to a conference finals or even the finals. And, Trey, something you always bring up with the Jazz, I saw this, Zach Crom was sharing it this morning, the three-point shooting. And if, like, this team hits threes, it's like, well, they're more times than not going to win. I know you can say that about a lot of teams, but the Jazz, like, percentage-wise, here's the graph, like, breaking it down for this season for the Jazz. Like, when they hit over 40% of their three-pointers, just damn near unbeatable at 24-4. And, you know, on those nights where they struggle, again, this would probably be similar to most teams, but the Jazz especially, they were just 2-6 when they were 30% or lower. So it's just something you've always bringing up, Trey. And obviously they hit, what, 19 threes last night?
Yep, 19 threes for the Jazz, 8 for the Grizzlies. That's plus 33 right there. I mean, that's tough. That's tough stuff. Lee, what'd you think about that closeout from Dylan Brooks on your mate Joe Ingles there? That was wild stuff.
Yeah, the Grizzlies were calling for an offensive foul on Joe. On first look, it was like, I can't believe they're calling that. But Joe kind of tries to get the contact, but he gets sort of butt into the shouldery head area there. And that was never going to get overturned, I didn't think. But Dylan Brooks, man, for a guy who does foul people, sometimes he doesn't even really try to avoid the contact there. So it was interesting seeing this dude extreme. Just fly there. And immediately that Grizzlies bench is just like, offensive foul. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I mean, it kind of looks like Ingles tries to move under him.
Yeah.
But I think he was just flinching from seeing a guy flying at his face. It's like he's trying to get out of the way. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it was an unusual defensive closeout from Dylan Brooks. There,
flying knees.
We're only like, what, 5 or 6 days into the 2021 playoffs here, but this first round has been awesome for like the showcase for young guys like John Moran, obviously the 47 in the lost her, but Trae Young, Ayton, Booker, Luka Doncic again back in the playoffs. There are others, like even Brooks, if you want to throw him in there, obviously a bit of a coming out party for him in terms of casual fans learning his name and who the hell is this guy and wow, what a crazy look this guy's got and stuff like that. So what a start here to the playoffs is all I'm getting at.
Great. It's wild, yeah. Ja Morant, franchise high in the playoffs for the Grizzlies franchise. I always thought that I knew who had the most points in a Grizzlies uniform in the regular season. I always thought, but do you guys know who it is? A little
is
trivia
it
time.
It's not Zebo?
No.
It's not Pau Gasol.
Michael
Dickerson.
Well, it's a Michael. Nice try. Nice Michael. Michael Dickerson
Miller?
Is up there.
Miller.
Yeah.
Wow. Miller.
Michael Miller?
With how many?
45.
That's their franchise record in the regular season.
High. Wow. You guys want to name the 40-point scorers in Grizzlies franchise
yes.
history? Everybody who scored a 40-pointer. Michael Dickerson is on there. Michael Miller's on there. Pau Gasol is on there.
Okay.
Is Mark on there?
Mark Gasol is on there. He
is?
Yeah. He had a 42 against the Toronto Raptors.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Now we've said Mike Conley.
I was going to say, is there another Michael and Michael Conley? Yeah.
Randolph? Did Randolph get a 40?
Yeah, come on.
He didn't, it seems like. Surprisingly. No, he's dropped. He's 38 was his career high.
Okay.
Did Vince ever get a 40 for the Grizz?
No.
How many left us?
We got plenty left.
Oh,
Sharif Abdur-Rahim?
Yeah.
Sharif didn't make it. 39. Oh. That's who I thought it was.
Rudy Gay, someone saying.
Rudy Gay's on
one.
There.
Yeah.
Rodriguez on there, a freaking name that a lefty that you would never consider a Grizzly, I don't think. A way back playback. You'd probably consider him a Laker.
Anthony Peeler.
Wow, nice one.
A guy who came out hot of school thinking his first year may have been his best year.
Beasley?
No. Tyreek Evans?
Mayo. OJ Mayo.
OJ, that's who I meant.
a guy who most likely his first year probably was his best year. He started in 1990 frickin' five. They picked him over Damon Stoudemire.
Camby?
No.
No. Brian Reeves?
Brian Reeves had a 40-point game.
Brian Reeves had a 40-point game?
He had a 40-point game.
20 dumpers.
Yeah. He had 41. And one guy you mentioned, a young guy who is currently on the team that we just have.
Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Jaren Jackson had a 43-point game. That rounds up the list. Yeah. Wow. Jaws had 44 in the regular season, so he'll pass. Nice. Mike one day.
Mike Miller still holding on to that 45. Nice trivia question. Always love a surprise trivia question here on the show. All right, let's get to the other game from last night. And we will start with the actual basketball for a second here. The Sixers dominated the Wizards behind a very strong Ben Simmons performance. Tass, Sixers up 2-0. Do the Wizards have any chance to win a game in this series?
No. I don't think there's a ton to take from this game, but it was great to see Ben Simmons be aggressive. So Embiid didn't have to do as much. Ben Simmons taking it to the hole, 22 points. The thing I'm watching for throughout this playoffs is Joel Embiid, you know, being a monster. Is he going to be a monster? He only had 3 free throws in this game. So I'm watching where he catches it, the shot locations, because that's been important with the Sixers in years past, in the Brett Brown years and then going into to last year where they got swept. There's not a lot to take from it with the Washington Wizards, but he scored inside. Maybe he's chilling out, but it was nice to see the other guys take the pressure off him. And hopefully Tobias Harris continues this. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's not burning out all his good games because he had 19 points on only 13 shots. So everybody working to help out Embiid. George Hill is alive on the bench. They got him at the deadline to be their backup point guard, and he's working out. And then Matisse Thybulle comes in, 5 blocks and 4 steals. What?
In 19 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nuts. And Doc Rivers said after the game, he's like our defensive Lou Williams. That's what he does. He's a defensive player.
Right, thinking right there, yeah.
But can he not contribute on the offensive end? Because that's what you're saying, right? Because Lou doesn't contribute on the defensive end.
He's not great offensively right now, Thybulle.
No, but a pretty cool stat line. 5 points, 5 blocks, 4 steals for all us stat muses out there. Yeah, and just under 20 minutes of play. So there's not a lot to take. It's nice that they're getting contributions from everywhere. And Embiid doesn't have to do too much. They're a stacked team. And I think the Wizards realize that. Like, we're not getting enough from everybody else on our roster besides, the guards, really. And it's not going to be enough against this Sixers team. They're just too good.
Ben Simmons, I thought, was pretty damn awesome in this. Like Tobias did in game one, Simmons, I thought, was like, these guys are too small. Let's just go right at them. He had like 3 dunks in a minute span at one point. Simmons had 22 points, 11 for 15, 9 boards, 8 assists. Had him in the dunker spot a ton of times. If he wasn't attacking those smaller guards, had a beauty dime to Embiid there in transition. And then we got the layup from Joel and his signature celebration. Yeah. I think we can call it that, right? The Triple H, air hump or degeneration. I mean, he doesn't really chop it. Like, he's not crossing his hands, but he's definitely humping the air. But it's his go-to
There's
celebration.
Certainly thrust.
He's done it like 4 times already this season. So I thought Simmons was awesome in this one, though, Lily.
Yeah, I guess, though, the league doesn't mind if Joel Embiid does that thrusting, thumping, pumping move because he does it. I mean, it was a funny little move that he made there. He sort of fell over. Could have hurt himself, but obviously
he always falls over.
Yeah. It's tough to see where the Wizards are going to win a game here, especially if Russell Westbrook is out for any extended time. Beal was obviously great, but there's just no one else giving them any sort of support there. So the Sixers should get through this pretty comfortably and should sweep them. I mean, they're too good. They're too big. They've got way too many options. And again, Ben Simmons last night, when he looks at the matchups, he's athletic enough, he's fast enough that he can just go into the paint if he wants and dunks and scores. And so that's really what the Sixers should do. They should just drop the hammer on the Wizards here, because outside of just a freakish performance from a Westbrook or a Beal, I can't see how they can really even keep up with the Sixers.
Yeah, I'm going to need some Davis Bertans three-pointers. That might help. Another 0-for-4 from that guy.
He did foul out, though. So,
oh, he did. He used his fouls. That was good. Trey, anything to add to this game?
This series sucks, guys.
It does.
There's no other way to say it.
Like a playoff series at all.
It does not at all. It's like the Wizards' playoff series this year was their second half getting into the playoffs and then doing well in the playoff tournament. But like you guys are saying, the Sixers are just too big. Like, Embiid didn't take a ton of shots in the paint last night, but that was just because Ben Simmons was taking every single shot in the paint. It's like anytime Simmons wanted to get his feet in the restricted area, he would just put his shoulder down, and he was in the restricted area for a shot. The same with Embiid. Anytime he actually wanted to be in the lane, he could be in the lane. The only chance that the Wizards have to win a game in this series will be in Game 4. Maybe Beal has a 60-point game and the Sixers just take their foot off the gas for a classic gentleman's sweep, but this thing is over already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reading a game report for Game 2 here, and they're still referring to the Wizards as a sub-500 team. The sub-500 Wizards, which... Yeah, you know, you kind of
technically
think
true.
That is totally true. They are an 8 seed that was a sub-500 team that's in the playoffs, so it's kind of expected that the best team in the East should smack them around. You know, it could be a 5-game series, as you say, but that's where we're going to max out most likely.
Sixers should do their best to try and sweep this, because if we all think Knicks-Hawks is going 7 games, that could give the Sixers like... I don't know, like 10 days off, maybe like 7 to 10 days off, I would assume. If they sweep and the other one goes super, super long, you'd be looking at a long layoff. So, yeah, they're obviously going to try, I assume, to get it done quickly. But we'll see if Beal and, like you said, Westbrook can bounce back from the ankle injury. And maybe Bertans hits those 7 threes in a game in Washington, and they got the phone booth bumping there and they can win a game. But it's looking less and less likely, especially with Tobias Harris playing that way and Simmons attacking. They are just way too small. Let's get to, very quickly here, I think, the popcorn being thrown on Russell Westbrook as he was leaving the floor there with the injury. JD, I know you do have the clip. I'm sure everybody's seen it by now if you're watching a daily NBA show. There it is. Popcorn comes raising down. Westbrook obviously furious. They're pointing at the guy. Who is it? Who is it? He was removed from the arena after the game. Westbrook said the amount of disrespect, the amount of fans just doing whatever the f*** they want to do. I'm all for the fans enjoying the game, having fun. It's part of sports. I get it. But there are certain things that cross the line. Wells Fargo Center is apparently responsible for disciplining the fan, not the Sixers team, because of the way they leased the arena. They came out and said, you know, this is, of course, uncalled for. I assume this fan will be banned for life. But does more need to be done at all? Lee, can more be done? What was your take on this bullshit?
Well, I don't know what you can do to stop someone doing that. I mean, that's going to happen. It's happened before where fans get too close. But I think the only thing they can do, and even this is hard to enforce, is just say, come out. And the Sixers, they shouldn't pass any responsibility here and say, well, let Wells Fargo deal with it. The Sixers should come out and say, we're banning him for life no matter what, because they need to show that they don't tolerate any of that stuff. But again, how do you ever actually enforce that a couple of years down the line? If someone buys that guy a ticket, he can come back into the arena. I don't think anyone's going to be able to prevent that from ever happening. But you would hope as well that other fans in the arena there would like it is kind of with racism. It's like if you hear someone saying something inappropriate, don't just sit there quietly. Like, point it out, and hopefully the other fans can sort of also get the help the security and help the team out by saying, it's this guy, here it is, chuck him out. Because I mean, like I say, you can never fully prevent it. You know, fans go there and have fun, and someone like that probably just like, oh, I'll just throw it on him, he won't care. I mean, Russell, it took like 5 guys to hold Russell back there for about 2 minutes, it felt like, before him to want to go into the fan up into the stand. But he said as well, like, if that was on the street, there's no way the guy's throwing popcorn on Russell Westbrook, but he's doing it from the safety of his seat. So I would like to see the Sixers come out and issue an apology to Westbrook and the Wizards, and then also say that they're preventing that fan from... As much as they can to stop him from ever coming back. But
what about stupid. Going next level with this? I mean, yeah, he's banned from the arena. He's banned from NBA games. Okay, that's great. That's a good start. Shouldn't we, like, have this guy's face and name plastered all over the place? Should he not be, like, publicly shamed? Lose friends? Maybe lose his job? It's like...
Well, he may. I mean, like we saw, there's already Getty photos of the guy in New York who apparently spat on Russell Westbrook, so it's easy to identify the
person.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah. I'm not sure. The guy probably just thought, you know, maybe it wasn't a big deal, and it obviously got Westbrook, and he wanted to fight him, and maybe they just say, you know what, you have to fight Westbrook now.
Well, yeah, that's what everybody said on Twitter last night.
That was Barkley's suggestion. Yeah. He's like, I think you should be able to go into the stands and fight the fan who does that to you. And this is almost exactly what happened with the Malice in the Palace, right? Somebody threw something from the stands that incensed Ron Artest, and he went into the stands. Now, obviously, that's never going to happen, but even Ernie Johnson was like, come on, Chuck, we can't have players going into the stands to fight them. Maybe we bring the fan down and they fight them on the court. If Ernie Johnson is suggesting this, you know things have gotten too bad, and it keeps happening with Westbrook. People keep trying to test Westbrook. I don't understand why. Just boo. Just boo. Just boo. It's easy.
Yeah, anything to add here, Tess?
Well, yeah, part of what makes basketball so great is fans extremely close to the action, so we're likely going to see this continue. I don't see the turnaround of human or mankind really happening in the next week or so. So it's going to happen. It's unfortunate because we all want to be close. We all want to be there. We all want to feel the sweat usually. But yeah, I'm thankful for Russell Westbrook and the Wizards that, you know, this wasn't far closer to him, you know, that there was an awning and that there was like, you know, 15 feet distance. So we didn't have a Malice at the Palace scenario because, yeah, there needed to be like six guys literally on top of, you know, each on top of, you know, one of Westbrook's muscle masses, you know, like they were just like all over his shoulders and his forearms and his arms to hold him back. I had flashbacks of Charles Oakley in Madison Square Garden there for a sec, the way they had to hold him back. And, you know, that ridiculous scene that happened there with James Dolan in the Knicks. It's what else is there to say? It's, you know, people are dumb. As long as I'm glad it wasn't something, you know, a lot heavier. Like, you know, sometimes it happens in European basketball where batteries are thrown at guys. And luckily this was just popcorn kernels, but it's dumb. It's just dumb.
Wasn't it a year or two ago Isaiah Thomas went up in the Philadelphia crowd? Remember he walked up because like
there was Frosty.
One or two guys. That's right. Yeah, like yelling, you know, F you to him or whatever the heck they're yelling at him. And he got suspended, IT did, for going up there a game or two, if I remember correctly. But those fans were banned for life from Wells Fargo Center. So, again, that's good. That's a step. Like, look, in Europe, football, rightly, at a certain point, if the fans cross the line. Now, I want to make sure to say, like, we're criticizing the moron who threw popcorn, not the entire city, not the entire Sixers fan base. But when things continue in an arena, an environment, like on the soccer pitch, stuff like that, do they not sometimes go to the extreme of like, well, empty arena? Like, it actually penalizes everybody. That has happened before, unless I'm mistaken.
I think it's happened. I think it happened maybe in Turkey, somewhere like that. I don't think it's happened in England. I don't believe, but I think actually England, though, were actually banned from the European Championships in like the 80s because their fans were going too crazy. So they sort of kicked them out of the whole league for a season or two. But it definitely has happened. But again, it's like you can't ever fully stop it because people just, you know, when they're in a bad mood or whatever at a game, they feel they can say it and they're going to get away with it. It's just it's almost impossible to ever totally eradicate it from any sport.
Well, this
event,
is the problem. They feel entitled because they've paid money for this ticket and they just think they can do whatever they want.
I paid my
it's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, it's the stupidest take in sports. But, you know, because again, what we're all saying here is you wouldn't go up to someone on the street, certainly not an athlete who's massively bigger than you and stronger, and scream and swear at them and say things about their family to them. And you think that there's a safety barrier because you've paid, you know, I've paid my money. That means I get to do whatever I want. Well, that doesn't work at all. That's not how things go. You don't go into a restaurant and just, well, I paid my money, I can scream and swear at the waiting staff and the hotel or the restaurant just because I didn't like my meal. People do it, doesn't mean it's right, but that's the way it is. It's like you don't just because you paid your money doesn't mean you now get a free hit to say or do whatever you want.
We got a fan here. You brought up the Isaiah Thomas scenario, Skeets, where he went into the crowd. Luis in the stream team reminded us that the fan, when approached, when confronted by Isaiah Thomas, said, "Sorry, I just wanted a Frosty."
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That's the money quote from that fan. You know, not to joke about it, but that was hilarious after the fact that he just wanted a Frosty, but doesn't realize, you know, you got to kind of have to be a human being and not be an a-hole. They're still giving away Frosties in Philadelphia.
That's good.
Miss two free throws, you get a Frosty.
Okay. Let's take a quick break here and we'll get to Tweet of the Night.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What did you say was the goat?
Potassium.
Oh, yeah, right. That makes sense. Banana man.
The <That's> goat. <right.
laughs> Yeah. And your avocado's got plenty of potassium in there. So stop you from cramping. I know you're a bit of a cramper when you go out and play basketball there, Skeetsy. So.
Not really.
You're a little bit of a cramper.
Turns out if you just drink water, be it hydrant or just water, you cramp less. Yeah, I'll get the odd big toe cramp every once in a while. That sucks. You ever get that, Lee, at all? No, you got
not
so much
really.
Potassium coursing through your body.
Yeah, I'm potassium positive, my man. You need to up your game a little.
Yeah? The goat-tassium.
The goat.
Goat-tassium. All right.
Cramper boy, someone's saying. That's
okay, that's pretty good. I like that.
Big cramper damper.
It's good to have Everlane and Hydrant supporting the show here. Love it. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Trey.
Tweet of the Night comes to us from Stefan Bondi at the New York Daily Times. More fan talk. The garden was rocking, and the crowd skewed college age. Two were in front of me and removed their shoes so they could wave them in the air. Why their shoes? No idea. Did wonder how all these 20-something-year-olds get the money for tickets. A great tweet for a few reasons. What's up with the shoes? Why would you take your shoes off? We saw the Dr. Seuss hat at game one. Now people are taking off their shoes, wobbling through the air. How is this a way of celebrating a game?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, were they, like... The only thing I can think of is, like, were they Knicks-colored shoes, you know? Like,
maybe,
that's
it. Yeah.
It's still very weird, but that's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah. Gotta stand out. Gotta stand out these days.
Yeah,
that's right. Pop your shoes off, wiggle them above your head. Go Knicks! I love it. But the other part I like about this tweet is that Tass had a similar tweet saying, "How do all these young people afford Knicks tickets? Please tell me their secrets." Similar to what Stefan said. My favorite response was from Brandon, who said, "Not too hard to save up a few hundred bucks over 8 years."
That's good.
That guy got a follow for that tweet.
That's
for
funny. Nice.
Sure. Yeah.
That's funny. That is well done. Good stuff. Yeah.
All right. This is good too from Luis, who says, "If people were taking off Timberlands," oh, damn Zoomers. Ah, you got me. Luis says, "some Tims. If you were taking off Timberlands in Madison Square Garden," that makes a lot of sense to me, actually.
Yeah. Merrill would love it. That's for sure.
Damn Zoomers.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's a lot of money to live in New York City, for crying out loud. Let alone go to a Knicks game. So you know, these young boys probably have some rich parents.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
but
everyone was saying rich parents.
Honestly, though, if you spent a bunch of money to go to the Knicks game last night, and you're a Knicks fan, probably totally worth it, right?
Of course.
To see the first Knicks playoff win in a decade in Madison Square Garden. That would be exciting times, even if you don't have your shoes on.
Yeah. Well, remember our friend, Tass, you remember this. Trey, you too, I bet. Like, Daryl Brown, our buddy, he'd get out on the dance floor. He was having a great time at a particular bar establishment. I just remember he would take off his shoes. And then at one point, it became a thing, like, when the night reached that level on the dance floor, that everybody started taking off their shoes and making a pile of shoes. This happened more than once. Tass, back me up on this. This may have happened at your, like, basically your wedding reception, right? Did it happen there? Were the shoes taken off of your place?
I don't think so. But it's happened many times, yeah, for sure. It's fun. It's just fun being free, right?
I guess so.
The restrictions of all that leather and synthetic leather holding you back, you take those off. Woo-wee! Yeah, you see,
pile of your tootsies.
Yeah,
and synthetic leather is holding me back.
Yeah. I just want to be free. I get it. Some people saying here in the stream team, it's just a pile of foot stank. John, I get what you're saying, but then you can try somebody else's shoe on. It's like, you know, a little free try on. Maybe I like these shoes.
We turn this dance floor into a footlocker.
Yeah, does anybody have an extra pair of socks? I don't want to try these on barefoot. I tried on definitely some lady shoes that were too small. I'd probably stretch them out a little bit. What are you going to do? That was a blast.
Young and free.
First time I ever put on a pair of Birkenstocks, Tass, they were your Birkenstocks.
Huh.
Too small for me, but they felt so good. I was like,
there you go.
I'm in the game now. So, yeah, I like it. Maybe they should do this at the next game. Take your shoes off. Let somebody in your section try them on. See, maybe you got a new pair of shoes you like now. I don't know.
That was an awesome dance floor, man. When we were dancing, I was dancing in Birkenstocks. Nah, I don't want to know.
I think this was at a cottage at one point.
I know. I'm just kidding. I would never. Well, we were probably dancing in Birkenstocks at a cottage.
That's possible.
For sure. 100% that happened. All right. Tonight's games.
Alec Burks.
Tonight's games. Three of them. We're up to game three with all of these. Bucks Heat.
Wow.
Miami needs it. Down 2-0. Losing both games in Milwaukee. That one on TNT. We got Suns Lakers. That one. All tied up at one game apiece. Pivotal game three, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
I think Magic Johnson was tweeting about pivotal games last night. I think he said game three or five were pivotal.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said there's no bigger game in a series than game three.
Yeah, he didn't use the word pivotal, but that's what he meant.
Like, everyone, Magic, what about game seven? Is there a bigger game than game seven?
Nope.
Oh, my God. Nope. He's just perfect, Magic. He's just so perfect.
So that is a big one, according to Magic Johnson. Suns and Lakers, that's the second game on TNT. And your NBA TV game tonight is Nuggets Blazers game three. And that series also tied up at one game apiece. Trey, any predictions from any of these three games? Get as crazy or as basic as you want.
Cool. First, quickly, this is a quick Shams bomb. Statement from the Philadelphia 76ers, The fan who dumped popcorn on Russell Westbrook has had his season ticket revoked and been banned from Wells Fargo Center indefinitely. So there's your answer to what's going down with what happened last night. See ya, and you lost your season tickets. Perfect.
Okay.
What's going to happen tonight? I'm just looking forward to another duel between Nikola Jokic and Damian Lillard. These two teams, with the way their seasons have gone and with now Jamal Murray being out of the lineup for the Nuggets, but Michael Porter Jr. taking a step up, they're similar quality rosters, I do think, from basically 1-9. So sometimes it kind of comes down to who's balling out the hardest. Is it going to be Jokic or is it going to be Lillard? Jokic was incredible in game two. Let's see if that's the case again in game three tonight.
Tass, got a prediction for any of tonight's three games?
Well, I just look forward to how the Suns come out here. On the road, they're 7-point dogs in Los Angeles.
Wow.
What? You know, so everybody proclaiming the Lakers as the favorite in this series. Now they got something else to put on the bulletin board that people now think that this series is over. And that's sort of common thought across the board. But they're not dying. No freaking way. And we'll see what kind of Chris Paul comes out against the Lakers. But I expect Devin Booker to be better, even though he had 31, 17 were from the line. So he only made 7 shots from the floor. They did a great job. They always do of getting the ball out of Devin's hands. But hopefully Chris is there to take some of the pressure off him. And hopefully Devin's just better at it. This is That was a little hiccup for him in game two, I thought, that being his second playoff game ever. So I think he'll bounce back.
Lely, take us home. What's your prediction? Give me something good here. Make it bold, man.
Well, the game I'm most excited for is Nuggets Blazers, because this one is a pivotal game three in this series here.
Thanks, Magic.
Oh, easy, yeah. Magic.
The most pivotal.
You know, look, the Nuggets, I'm just really interested to see how they defend Lillard and how the Blazers mix it up if anything from game two is to be taken from it, because I really think that if you're Michael Malone, you put Aaron Gordon on Lillard from the start and just see if you can disrupt that flow. Because the last game of the regular season, I know it's not the best example, but the Blazers just lit up the Nuggets from three-point range. Nuggets didn't play in the second half. That was just the last game. But that's the sort of thing with the Blazers at home. If they get those threes falling early, might be a little bit tough for Denver. But I think it's the smart move is put the longer, more athletic guy on Lillard and then see if those other guys can beat you in this series. Maybe they can, but I think if you can stagnate Lillard somewhat, that's going to be Denver's best chance.
Have we had a 50-point performance in this year's playoffs yet? Am I forgetting one, or is 47 the high right now from Ja Morant? That sounds right, right?
Yeah.
We had the Tatum plane, if you count that.
No, I'm never counting that! Are you kidding me? I'm just kidding. My weird prediction is somebody's going for 50 tonight, because we got some obviously some monster names out there. It could be a Booker, it could be an Anthony Davis, even it could be of course a Lillard, a Jokic. Somebody's going for 50. Someone's going to outdo sort of Ja Morant's 47 there from last night. That'll be my weird prediction with one of these games. I guess it could be Giannis. That might be a little more difficult. Could Jimmy go bonkers? Can't wait to find out. Can't wait to find out tonight.
Where are my wedgies at?
Mm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Haven't had a wedgie in the playoffs. Haven't had a beef in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
Close.
Had some weird bounces off the rims, I would say, during the playoffs so far, but no stickerooskies. Let's get one tonight. That'd be nice.
All right. Three games on. We'll be back tomorrow to break them all down. It will be the Drop Podcast, but still live at 10 a.m. Let's call it 10:05 a.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. Podcast up as soon as we possibly can after that. Thanks so much for joining us here. Shout out to the stream team, as always. Appreciate you guys for jumping in there and leaving your comments. Go grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Get yourself a nice No Dunks t-shirt here for the summer. In fact, buy one and then tie-dye it like some people are out there. I know in the No Dunks Discord, they were showing that off, Trey. I think you tweeted it out from the No Dunks Twitter account. My God, it looked awesome.
Yeah, looked really good. And I think there's going to be more coming down the line from some of the Discord dunkers, because that was getting rave reviews. Right. Who was it? Wham It Sam? Shout out to Wham It Sam with the tie-dye. Wham It Sam, the tie-dye guy.
Awesome. Get yourself an Athletic subscription. If you don't have one, go to theathletic.com/nodunks. And again, if you can, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Leave your comments below the video and smash that like button. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the tastiest burger is a 50 burger.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.